I never thought I'd be coming back from Malaysia saying the things I'm about to say. Now I'm on a plane which is just about to land in Cork. Came on a flight from Kuala Lumpur to London Heathrow. That took 14 hours. Had about a 2.5 hour break at Heathrow and a short hop back to London, to Cork. And I'm afraid that when I land I'm going to get swallowed up in the reintroduction to Ireland. So let me just say a few things which are my first impressions of Malaysia. Number one, the weather was dreadful, absolutely abominable. I don't mean loads and loads of rain and cloud. I mean that when we arrived in the middle of smog, and it was so powerful, the smog, that I had to wear a face mask, and so did other people. And in fact, a sort of national day of emergency in which the schools and the education colleges were shut in Shah Alam, where I was staying, and I think also in Kuala Lumpur. This smog, I call it, is called haze by the Malaysians. Not sure why they call it haze rather than smog. But it gets into you, causes you to cough, and I'm quite sure that it made my eyes sting as well. So it was a very bad start, very bad first impression. And in fact, I definitely would have got out of Kuala Lumpur and got out of Shah Alam as fast as I could if I had any other option. So that then, just sticking with weather, because I never really fully realized how important weather really is. It's a kind of a basic foundation on which everything else is built. And if the weather is awful as it was, it can actually spoil the whole of the time. Well, it didn't spoil everything for me, because I wasn't going to be exposed to it for all that much. I was going to be indoors most of the time. I was working. This wasn't a holiday. I went there to work, and every single day, every single day was work. And when I wasn't actually doing conventional work, I was preparing to do it. So the second impression I have of it is that when the rains come, the rains damp down the smog, and things get a lot better, and we got some heavy rain for some of the time in the middle of the week, and it got a lot better. So my memory of the smog has dulled quite a lot since the early days, and the only real evidence I have of the smog now are the photographs of what it looked like out the window. So I imagine that that'll fade over time. I may only have time to give one more impression. I have to say that my first time in Asia, my first time in Malaysia, I had no idea what to expect. I have never gone anywhere and been treated so kindly, welcomed so warmly and generously by people to a person, whether they were work colleagues or clients, right across the board. One of the things I came to like was the pace at which the work was done, the pace at which people addressed issues. They seemed, perhaps it was because everything I had to do with them had to be done through the medium of English, but there was a general calm. There was nobody, to use a phrase we did use, running around like a blue arse fly chasing his tail. No, there was none of that. They use a phrase, being like a cockroach with a leg cut off, because if a cockroach runs with a leg cut off, it'll go all over the place. And there's another phrase, like a monkey with fish paste, and that's when a monkey goes crazy. Anyway, I did learn a certain amount about the poetic language of the Malays. I have to give a caveat to everything I'm saying now, and everything I will say in the future about Malaysia, is that the people I mixed with were the Malay people. I didn't mix with Chinese people, I didn't mix with Indian people. And that's an important consideration, because Malaya is a country as a whole. It's where about crudely 60% of the people are Malay, 15% are Chinese and 15% are Indian. In fact, I think I've overstated the number of Malay, but all the people I mixed with, the restaurants I went to, the people I worked for and with were all Malays. So my impressions of Malaysia come out of my experiences within that community. But the generosity, the warmth, was fantastic. There were a lot of things for me to learn, and there are too many to list now, but it was in terms of the basic politenesses, like, for example, that you do not put your hand out to shake hands with a woman. If she puts her hand out first, then you can shake it, but if she doesn't put her hand out, you don't shake her hand. Whereas with men, you can put your hand out and they will shake it without a moment's hesitation. It's a terrific, one of the things I noticed, and anybody would notice this, is that when you walk around in a public place, the mixture of...
Ladies and gentlemen, we're now making a final approach task. To give one final check, the seatbelt is securely fastened.
When you walk around in a public place, you notice, particularly the women, are big differences in the way in which they're dressed. I went mainly to Malay areas, and almost all the women had their hair covered. But right alongside them, young Chinese women who were in short skirts and low-cut tops. I'm not saying everybody was like that, but I'm saying that two people, one, let us say, extremely modest, could be standing alongside somebody who wasn't at all modest, using those terms. So it's a fascinating coexistence alongside each other of cultures. There is a history which I don't know enough about, but is a very interesting story. I was told about the history of Malaysia by a Malay, and I wouldn't feel when I came, that I've ever really got a grip on the history of, or the story of Malaysia, until I've heard it from the Chinese and the Indian point of view as well. The food was mixed in the sense that some of it I liked a lot and would happily sit there and eat more and more of it, and others I found didn't really care for it that much, but on balance overall I loved the new tastes, the new kind of food. Rice, they eat rice for breakfast. And I couldn't understand how you could have rice for breakfast. But they do, and they have special kind of rice for breakfast. And some rice is made with coconut milk. And rice is flavored with all sorts of things. Rice itself comes flavored out of a packet as well. So there's rice for breakfast, there's rice for lunch, there's rice for afternoon tea or a small snack at say 4 o'clock in the day, and rice for dinner. So that's why everybody in Malaysia, or among the Malay population at least, would be buying their rice in
Ladies
sacks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cork. For your comfort, but especially for your safety, please remain in your seat with the seatbelt securely fastened until the aircraft has stopped moving and the captain switched off the overhead fastened seatbelt sign. Please check the overhead bin, seat pocket in front of you, and the floor area around your seat by your personal belongings before leaving the aircraft. Please be careful when you open the overhead bins. Items which become displaced during the flight can fall out, causing injury to you or to fellow passengers. On behalf of Captain Colin, the entire crew, we'd like to thank you for flying with Aer Lingus today. We do hope you've enjoyed your flight with us, and we look forward to welcoming aboard another Lingus flight in the not-too-distant future. Don't forget to go to our website, aerlingus.com, for great fares, travel insurance, hotels and car hire. For those who travel with young children and have buggies, they'll be delivered inside the baggage hall on carousel number 4. I would ask you please to walk within the designated walkways to the Tower Room building here in Cork. Gorf Mago Vakoi, the Vedashling Senior, tossing up Tirs Yask of Sloan, is Gadari Bolev. Thank you, and a very safe onward journey.
Well, you can't compete with that. So let me just tell you one more thing. I kind of knew this before I left, but now I know it from experience. One of the tricks to learn in relation to Malaysia is do not ask a question which requires a yes or a no answer. There is, in relation to a question to which the answer might be no, there is a certain tone of voice in which yes is said that would indicate that the answer is not yes, and that's quite tricky to determine. There are a whole number of ways of saying yes, and I might think from my background that the person has actually agreed to something, and what they've said is really in effect yes, I take account of that, or I'll take that into consideration, but it definitely isn't anything like yes, let's shake on it. So that means that in having conversations, it's really not very productive to be asking questions which have yes or no. Okay, I'm going to stop now. I'm going to go back. Here it hasn't been half as bad coming back in terms of being exhausted as I expected it to be. Can't think of anything more that I want to say immediately, except that one of my regrets is that I haven't had time to learn more about the Malay language, because based on my conversations, it's a particularly poetic language, meaning full of metaphors, full of similes, and that there's more, people are more comfortable with speaking than they are with writing things down. Okay, so look, this is it. We're on the tarmac in Cork, and it's Paul O'Mahony, who's come back from Malaya, a different person than he was before he went, and has loads more impressions than I've been able to mention. Cheerio for now. Bye-bye.